preached and had meetings, and then got back, I think, Monday night, and then you leave again on Saturday, if I understand, remember correctly. And so you pray for them as they're out ministering. And someone asked me the other day, they said, oh, the Summerdorfs are here. I said, well, their RV is here, but they're not here, and they're having meetings and what have you, but it's good that we can see you this evening, so thank you for being here. Amen. Romans chapter number 10 is where we're going to kick it off this evening. Romans chapter 10, it's a familiar passage of Scripture. On Sunday, I preached a couple of messages about missions conference and really kind of a missions emphasis. And in fact, on Sunday evening, we examined the last part of Acts 14. I've often referred to that portion of Scripture as the first missions conference. And those that were sent out from the church at Antioch, they fulfilled their ministry that God had called them to, and they returned back to Antioch, and the church was gathered together. They rehearsed all that God did with them and through them, and how God had opened the door of to the Gentiles, and just amazing things were taking place, and we're rejoicing. And this evening, just want to answer this question. I've really just titled the message tonight with a question: why have a missions conference? Why do we do this? Why do we go through all of the expense and all of the planning to be able to have a missions conference? Oftentimes, I've scheduled, in fact, our missions conference for next year, the keynote speaker is already scheduled. And we have our keynote speakers scheduled a year or two in advance. And we go through the planning and all of that. And why is it? Why do we have booklets that we provide? Why do we do all of these things, come up with a theme and artwork and so on and so forth? And so this evening, for a few minutes, I want to try to answer that question for you. And then we'll have some concentrated prayer time specifically with regard to our missions conference. But I want to look here at Romans chapter 10 for just a few moments before I answer that question. Notice this truth in verse 13. I believe tonight that most of us could probably quote Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that a wonderful verse? I mean, it's precious, is it not? Every time, I believe every time I've ever shared the gospel with someone and was able to get through the entirety of the gospel, I end in Romans 10:13 and say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means you. That means anyone. And God said that if you would call on Him, He will save you. And what a blessing this verse of Scripture is. But we find that the text continues, and notice in verse 14, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Aren't those some soul-piercing questions? I mean, for us as believers to read the questions in verse number 14 and thought-provoking, it ends in verse 14, how shall they hear without a preacher? Obviously, this evening we know that someone had to share the gospel with us. Someone told you about Jesus. It may have been your mom, it may have been your dad, it may have been a grandparent, it may have been a pastor, it may have been a co-worker. It may have been a missionary, it may have been a stranger that just knocked on your door, but the reality is that somebody told you and somebody told me about Jesus. And we find this evening that question, how shall they hear without a preacher? We understand that government is established by God, but government has not been given the responsibility of preaching the gospel. Now, it's okay if they decide they're going to preach the gospel, but that's not what God instituted. God designed the church, those that are born again, saved by the grace of God, that we would be the ones that would proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 15, continuing with a question, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You know, the gospel that we preach is a gospel of peace. It's a gospel of glad tidings. The word means good news. I understand that not everyone receives it as such. I understand that not everyone is excited to receive the gospel. But how can a man have peace with God? Only through Jesus Christ. In fact, earlier in the book of Romans, we read that very thing in verse number 1 of chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find that the message that the preacher is delivering is a message of peace. It's a message of glad tidings, of good things. And it says in verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As we look at this passage of Scripture, we're reminded this evening of a wonderful promise, one that we hold dear to our hearts, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But after that wonderful promise, we're confronted with some convicting questions, some thought-provoking questions, and one of those, as we've mentioned already, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As you see the end of verse 14 and the beginning of verse 15. And so as we enter into missions conference and seek to answer this question, why a missions conference? Why do we put it on the schedule? Why do these families travel thousands and thousands of miles throughout their time of deputation to visit from church to church to church to church to stand up and present and to have their children, all those things? Why do we do it? And let me just give you a few thoughts this evening. Number one, it is an opportunity to be reminded. A missions conference is an opportunity for us to be reminded. Reminded of what? Well, reminded that Jesus is the only hope for the world. To be reminded that the world is big. I know sometimes we say, it's so small. Well, it's also so large. There's 2 billion people in the world today. There are places all around the globe. We look at a map, we look at a globe, and we are reminded that we live in a world that is full of people, and there's a great need. We're reminded that everywhere, all people everywhere need to hear the gospel. There have been times in which we've had missions conference and we've had folks come from various places and they're coming, and maybe we're familiar with the particular country in which they're going to, Guyana. I don't know how many of you knew or know where Guyana is. That's one of the missionary families. Now, Switzerland, you say, okay, I'm familiar with Switzerland. Guyana, we had a missionary a number of years ago that was coming to be with us, and they were going to the Gambia. I'd never heard of the Gambia, and what did I do? Well, I went to Google, because Google knows everything. And that's, I'm kidding, Google doesn't know everything, and it thinks it does. But I went to Google, and I looked up the Gambia, and called the missionary back, because they had left me a voicemail, and began to talk to him about the Gambia. And he said, you're like the first preacher that I've talked to that knew where the Gambia is, and all of this sort of thing. And I said, well, I cheated, and I looked it up. But the reality is that there are places that we're not familiar with, and we're reminded that there's a need there. There are people there. And we're reminded that not only are there people in these places, we'll be reminded about Guyana, we'll be reminded about Switzerland. We don't have missionaries in either one of those countries that we currently support, and we'll be reminded about the need there, but we'll also be reminded through every missions conference that we've ever had, through every directory that you ever look at, through every button you ever push on that map, you will not find a missionary to Northern Virginia. Because we're reminded that we are the missionaries to Northern Virginia. This is our Jerusalem. This is our responsibility. This is our place of ministry. And we're reminded, as we have a missions conference, we're reminded that we have a responsibility. And I often say to you that I like to look at it more as being a privilege than a responsibility, because when we focus too much on the responsibility, we almost can get into that duty mindset, I have to. But the reality is that sharing the gospel is a get get-to situation, not necessarily a have-to situation. Now, I believe you have to. We're commanded to. But I get to tell people about my Jesus and about how wonderful He is and what He's done for me and how He's changed my life. And so when we have a missions conference, it's an opportunity for us to be reminded of some things. There will be some that will be present for a missions conference, even as I mentioned on Sunday. This will be their very first missions conference they've ever participated in any church anywhere. And they will be new to the whole thing, and they will be reminded of some things that maybe for them will be new to them, where it's just a reminder to you. You've already known it. But the reality is that we're prone to forget. You know, God says to the children of Israel, beware lest thou forget. In the context in Deuteronomy chapter 6, He gives them that warning of when they are increased with goods, they have homes that they didn't build, they have vineyards that they didn't plant, all of these things, beware lest thou forget the Lord. You know what happened with the church in, as we look in Revelation chapter number 3, the church of the Laodiceans? They were increased with goods. They had need of nothing. They needed to be reminded of some things. And there's some times when we have a missions conference where it's a time, it's an opportunity to be reminded. Number two, it is an opportunity to refocus. To refocus. You ever hear somebody say something like this? You need to hit the reset button. And sometimes we just need to hit the reset button. We need to refocus. I believe this evening that we live in a fast-paced society. Do you agree with that? I mean, we live in a fast-paced society. Eric and Christine and Levi have been visiting our church for a few weeks, and they were over to our home on Monday evening for dinner and fellowship as we would try to get to know them and minister to them. And one of the things that Christine said was, it's just so fast here. The pace of life is so fast. It is. It is. We live in a fast-paced society. We have many things that are competing for our attention. They're competing for our focus. And we're human beings. Some of us have the ability to multitask, and some of us don't. But those of us that have the ability to multitask, you know what I find sometimes? The ability to multitask is almost a deficiency at times. Because you never can actually be fully focused on one thing. Why? Because you're too busy multitasking. And it's a help, but it also can be a hindrance. And I've learned that in my own life. And so when we think about a missions conference, not only to be reminded, but an opportunity to refocus. And I think about the world that we live in and all the things that are going on and that are competing for your attention and my attention. And sometimes we just need to have that reset, that refocus on, what am I really here for? What is the purpose that God has for me? And when we have a few days with a purposed emphasis on missions, it helps us to refocus. It helps us to unplug a little bit and say, okay, here's where we need to be focused. This is where we got to get our attention on. You know, the reality is it's so easy for us to be distracted. The enemy is good at keeping us distracted. And we can be distracted with good things that aren't the best things. And they don't have to be evil things or wicked things that distract us. They could be good things, but they're not the best things. And all of a sudden they get in the way and they cause us to lose our focus, and we start going through life and we can almost begin to have the questions that lost people have of, what am I here for? What's the purpose of this? And the reality is that as God's people, we know that God has a specific purpose for us, and there are times in which we just need to refocus. What is it that God has for me? What is the purpose? And so we take these days, and we're not trying to wear you out, but we take these days and place this emphasis and have this purpose. Why? To be reminded of some things, but also so that we can refocus. Can I tell you that as individuals we can get distracted, but can I tell you this evening that as churches corporately we can get distracted? You know, there are churches that lose focus of what the mission is. There is a truth of outreach and ministry. And outreach is to reach those that are without, and ministry is to minister to those that are within. And there's got to be balance. And the reality is that we can get so good at edifying the believers and so bad at evangelizing the lost. And we have to recognize there's a possibility that churches, we can lose our focus. And not only as individuals or as families can we lose our focus, but corporately we could lose our focus. And so a missions conference gives us the opportunity to be reminded, to refocus. Number three, it gives us an opportunity to respond. James 1:22, turn over there. I know that you know it. It's a favorite verse of mine. I pray it so often. I pray it each day when I go to open God's Word personally, when I have my devotions. I pray it almost every service that I open up a service in prayer. Why? Because God gave us His Word so that we would apply it, so that we would do it. He did not give us His Word so that we could just answer questions and have some level of knowledge about what the Bible says. No, we are to be doers of the Word. And He says in James, notice in verse 22, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. Then notice this, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Aren't you thankful that we have a Bible? It's the perfect law of liberty. The Bible says this, and continueth therein. You know what the idea is? That we're applying it, we're doing it, we're continuing, we're applying the truth in our lives. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man, notice what it says, shall be blessed in his deed. Do you want to be blessed? The blessing doesn't come just by hearing. The blessing comes by hearing and doing. Remember what God says to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. I know, again, a verse of Scripture that many of you have committed to memory. But the Bible says this, as God is preparing Joshua for entering into and leading the children of Israel, the book that he's being referred to is really the Pentateuch, as we'd refer to it, the books of Moses. And in Joshua 1 and verse number 8, the Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But notice what he says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe, what does it say? To do, according to all. Oh, I mean, this is getting serious, right? Not to just cherry pick, not to just, no, to do according to all that is written therein. And then it says this, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Often we want the then, but we don't really want the process. You know what I mean? You read the end of Exodus in chapter 40 when they're setting up the tabernacle. If you read through there, there's three statements that are repeated throughout that passage of Scripture, and you find as you get to the end, the Bible says, then the glory of the Lord filled the place. Well, after what? After they did according to what God said. And we find here this evening that it's an opportunity for us to respond. What truth this evening, as we consider and make preparation in our own hearts and spirits as we'd enter into this week of missions conference, what truth is there that will be presented from this pulpit, from one of these men that will come and preach? What truth is it that we need to implement in our lives? That we say, I need that, I need to apply that, I need to do that, I need to, listen, I've said it before from this pulpit, conviction is good for us. It is absolutely good for us when God steps on our toes and convicts us. And by the way, let me say this, and I'm not saying it just to get a response, but the reality is that for us to respond to God, for us to use an altar is a good thing. It's a good thing. It's not embarrassing to go to an altar. It's a good thing. Why? We're doing business with God. We understand we don't have to go to an altar, but oh, we want to be serious. I need what God has in store for us. I believe this evening that God's Word will be preached when these folks come. If I didn't believe that they'd preach the Bible, if I didn't believe that they would give a truth from God's Word, I wouldn't invite them to come stand behind this desk. We understand we have revival meetings and we have missions conferences. We have other guest speakers at different times. I am very careful of who I would invite to stand behind the desk, the pulpit, the sacred desk, as we've often referred to it. Why? Because we need to preach the Word. It's God's Word that changes lives. And there's something that's going to be preached from this pulpit that I need. And I ask myself this question as I have this thought of an opportunity to respond, a few thoughts here. What part, we need to ask ourselves this personally, what part do I have in world missions? What part do I have in world missions? What am I doing personally to fulfill the Great Commission? I would ask this as we begin to try to answer that. Do I regularly pray for our missionaries? Is it something in my life that is regular that I'm praying for missionaries? We put together missionary directories and we give those to you. Why? Because we want you to be able to pray for our missionaries. We have missionaries of the week that we put in our bulletins. Why? To fill up space? No, because we want to place an emphasis that we want to remind you we need to pray for these missionaries. We take the time to put missionary update letters, the summaries of those letters, on the back of our weekly prayer bulletins. Why? So that you can pray for missionaries. And you don't have to pray generically, you can pray specifically. Do I regularly pray for missionaries? Do I regularly give of my finances to support missionaries? Can I tell you this evening, these missionaries that will come, as you know, every missionary that comes here, they have a financial need. They need to have a certain amount of finances to get to the field that God has called them to so that they can minister and fulfill the work. That's just the reality. We understand oftentimes when we talk about finances with missionaries, we'll talk about their deputation and we'll talk about what level support do you have. And what are we talking about? Well, they have a number that they need to reach and they're at a certain percentage based on what's already come in. One of the missionaries is just at about 70%, the Deaton family that will be with us. And I believe the Muscat family, I believe they're around 90%. I haven't gotten an update from him recently, but the Deatons, I just got an email from them the other day and they're right at 70% of their needed support. When the Farringers were here a few weeks ago or a month ago, they were at like 93.7% or something like that. And so we find that these missionaries, they need financial support. You know, many of these missionaries, they cannot go to the field that they're going to and get a job. They're not permitted to, legally. The countries in which they're going to, most of them will not allow you to enter the country if you're going to take from their economy. It's just how it works. So they need financial support. But can I tell you, every missionary I've ever spoken to, every evangelist that I've ever spoken to, more than your financial support, they need your prayer support. They need your prayer support. And so that's why I ask you, do we pray for our missionaries regularly? And then do I give of my own resources personally to support missionaries? We can ask ourselves this question, do I communicate with any of our missionaries? We put email addresses in the bulletins on Wednesday evening for the three missionaries of the week. Why? We put their contact information in the directory. Why? Because they get lonely. And it's good for them to know that somebody is praying for them. It doesn't have to be a 15-paragraph email. It can just be a, hey, I just want to let you know you're a missionary of the week at our church this week, and I'm praying for you. And you have no idea how encouraging that is to a missionary. Just absolutely a shot in the arm for them. Why? Somebody's praying for me. Holding the ropes, as we've used and seen the analogy used over the years. When I think about responding and an opportunity to respond, there's always this question, how can I be more involved? What can I do more? I don't want to just become status quo. I don't want to just get stagnant, floundering around. I want to advance. I want to grow. I want to increase. I think about the church at Thessalonica. The Bible speaks of them of increasing and how they their faith increaseth exceedingly. The Bible speaks of that. And the reality is that whatever I'm doing, the question that I could ask myself is there any more that I could do? There's any more that I could do. So why do we have a missions conference? Well, because we're forgetful and we need to be reminded. I say we. I'm not saying you. I'm saying we. Me, we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded that God's still working. We need to be reminded that God's still calling missionaries. We got to be reminded that people are still answering the call. These families are going to stand up here. The Muscats are young. They have a young daughter, probably close to 2 years old, and they're going to stand up here, and they're going to another country, taking their family there. The Deaton family, they're a little bit older. They got four children. You're going to see them stand here with their four children. They're going to a different country. Listen, God's still working. We need to be reminded of that. It encourages us. You're going to be reminded that we have a part. So it's an opportunity for us to be reminded. It's an opportunity to refocus, because we get distracted so easily in this fast-paced society that we live in. And so it's an opportunity to be able to refocus. And then it's an opportunity to respond. God, what would you have me to do? What part can I have in missions? What do I need to do with regard to missions? God, speak to me, convict me. And God, I'll respond. I'll be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Why? Because I want to be blessed. And we have this missions conference. There's a reason for it. It's not, there's no book somewhere that I know of anyway that says in order to be a good independent Baptist, you have to have a missions conference. No. It's because we understand that missions is the heartbeat of God. We say, we want to do this because we want to be challenged and we want to be having this time set apart to focus specifically on world evangelism. What does God have for us? Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. Thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to gather tonight. And then, Lord, we thank you that we can have a missions conference. And Lord, I pray that you would bless every aspect. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to honor and glorify you. I pray that we'd be spiritually prepared. Lord, I pray that you would do a great work, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to pray.